We arrived back last Monday, and we spent most of our time actually on the west coast of Tasmania, and it was absolutely fabulous. We had about 8 nights at Macquarie Heads, which is out at the southern end of Ocean Beach, or in a very biblical place called Hell's Gates. And so we spent... We weren't literally at Hell's Gates, but we were looking across at Hell's Gates. And we spent some time there, and we were blessed with the most beautiful weather. We had sunshine and an amazing beach, and we were catching fish off the beach nearly every day, and just had a wonderful time. And then we had a... I sound like somebody from the tourist bureau. Do they still have tourist bureaus anymore? I'm showing my age, don't they? That goes back about 150 years. But then we had 2 nights at Lake Rosebery at a place called Tulla. I grew up in Devonport, and we used to talk about Tulla, people from Tulla. But Tulla is absolutely beautiful, and we were on this amazing lake and looking up at Mount Murchison, and then we sort of made our way across to the northeast and had a few days mountain biking. So we've had a fabulous time. So I am wrapped. I am pumped to be back in the house this morning, and I know God's got something to say. Big welcome to my little brother Matthew. He's in the house. Fantastic to have you here, Matthew. About 15 years ago, I think it was, we were driving up north. We were heading up to the northwest coast around Christmas time. We had some things to do up there. And as we drove through Brighton, I looked across to a place I was very familiar with. And I saw a fairly clean block, a fairly clean commercial block, and there was about probably 1 truckload of rubble left on this block, and immediately I had an interesting feeling, because what I was looking at was all that was left of a warehouse and showroom that we'd built. And we'd built it in such a way, we'd built while we were working, we were often out there, you know, after working, you know, 10 hours in normal work, we're out there under lights, building this building, and it was actually good. It was a quality building. And what happened was, when God called us into more full time ministry, I sold that business and I sold the property that was part of it, and Alex and I had a significant change, But the new owner decided to redevelop the site, and there was actually nothing particularly wrong with the building. It was actually a good building, but he wanted to do something different in the space. He wanted to build a workshop down the back and put this car wash in the front, and so it meant pulling down this building that we'd actually built with blood, sweat and tears, and we'd been late nights and early mornings and all that. So I had a little bit of a funny feeling as we went past, and I think many of us would have felt those deflated type feelings when something that you have put a lot of effort into comes crashing down. Whether it's something, you know, on the more frivolous end, like when we were on the beach, one of our boys started deciding that he would like to do sand sculpture. And many of you know Cody, and you probably don't think of Cody as a sculptor, but he was there, and he was, you know, we had 2 boys. One of them wanted to dig the biggest hole you could possibly dig on the beach, which normally involved me and a shovel. But then Cody's doing this beautiful sand sculpture, and they were quite amazing. And then he brought me down to look at one, and then he said, "Oh, that one there, oh, I stepped on it and I trod on it while I was doing the other one." You know, and all this work that he'd put in was just gone like that. So, you know, and then there's the old thing where you spend all your time building the most magnificent sandcastle, and the beach bully comes along and stomps on it. And sometimes life can even feel a bit like that, can't it? These things that we have put so much effort into, it, whether it's something like I was talking about, whether it's a building, whether it's a business, whether it's a relationship. Whatever it is, things that we put a lot of effort into at times can come crashing down. And I'm sure if I ask for hands here this morning, everybody could relate to that. You can relate to something that you have put a lot of effort into and it comes crashing down. I can even see, and I don't believe it's come crashing down, but we've got Captain Kim from the Salvation Army. And congratulations, Kim and Steve, on your new appointment. They're off to New South Wales to be the district commanders for all of New South Wales. What an amazing privilege. What a huge role. Yeah. And so we wish you all the best in that. But I'm sure as you change, there's that sense of I felt God had me here for a season, and then there's effort you put in, and suddenly you've got to walk away, and we as people have emotions attached to those sorts of decisions. And it's easy to spend too much effort on something that won't last. And even this morning, it was interesting. I was doing my final little bit of prep for this message, and something had popped up on the computer, and I was a bit distracted with it. It was just a message of where somebody else had ridden a bike. And anyway, and I thought, I haven't got any time. This is stupid. And I came straight back to what I was doing, and this line actually came up immediately. It's easy to spend too much time and effort on things that won't last. And most of us, don't we? We want to feel like we're going to invest our effort into something that is significant. Even if you're not a real go-getter, even if you're not an A-type personality, even if you're not, you know, one of those people that's always out there, you know, sprouting vision and talking about big dreams and big ideas, but even if you're perhaps a more laid-back personality, all of us want to feel like what we are putting our effort into matters and it's significant. Do we want to create a loss or a legacy? Do you want to create a loss or a legacy? And anyone who's been in business knows it's pretty easy to make a loss. You know, you can have all the vision, all the ideas, and you put the big things up, the sign up, great ideas, and you can start your business, and it is really easy to make a loss. And we're told that, I can't remember what the stats are, but there's a very huge number of small businesses that are started that actually fail within the first 12 months or the first 2 years of starting. And somebody had these dreams, somebody had great ideas, somebody put all this effort in and it comes crashing down. And what they expected or envisaged as a lifestyle and a profit and something that would sustain them, all of a sudden makes a loss and it comes crashing down. It's harder to make a profit, isn't it, Nathan? And it's easy to put our effort into things that don't ultimately matter. We'll get to an end of a season and you say, what was that all about? As you know, I'm obviously a pastor, a minister. And the stats around people that sow their lives into this sort of ministry are that the percentage is very, very high on people that actually don't necessarily finish well or finish with satisfaction. And it's easy to feel what you've put so much effort into came crashing down. And most of us want to be part of something great, don't we? talked about that already. Because, why is that? Well, you were created for greatness. You weren't created for mediocrity. You weren't created just to, oh yeah, I'll just get by. You weren't actually even created for the old Australian thing. Oh, you know, I'm just going to keep my nose clean and stay out of trouble. You know, you were created for more than that. And so often we can actually allow this world and this culture and all that's around us to actually take what we were created to be and do and the plans that ultimately God has for us, and we actually allow this world to actually shrink it down to, oh, I'm going to keep my nose clean and stay out of trouble. Let's continue to stand together. We've started this year declaring the goodness and the greatness of God together. And here's what I want to unpack in the time I've got left this morning. Psalm 127, verse 1. Many of you will know it well. And it says, unless the Lord builds a house, the work of the builders is wasted. Unless the Lord protects the city, guarding it, unless the Lord protects a city, guarding it with centuries, will do no good. Talking to Mauricio yesterday, and he's telling me about their backyard, and somebody had given him a shinier bike. He'd had an old one there and it sat in the backyard and nobody paid any attention to it. But suddenly he put a new one or a newer bike next to it. It caught somebody's attention. Somebody came into the backyard and stole both bikes. And it's sort of, you think, well, we can actually build these things. And he was talking about, you know, what he might do to probably make that backyard more secure. And he was talking about the guy next door that's got security cameras and things like that. And you know, that sometimes we need to do that. We had kids on the roof here late last year. They were causing a fair bit of trouble. And, you know, one day I was talking to them and threatening to get up there and come and get them down. And then I realised it wasn't such a smart idea. But yeah, I was going to lay hands on them. And I was talking to the... And then the police turned up later. Did you know the kids can get on this roof and they can actually cover this whole block on the roof? It's amazing. They can go from the other side of our building right down to the post office down the other end there, just about.
Don't try.
You know. Anyway, and the policeman said, oh, you know, they're there. He said, oh, have you considered putting an electric fence on the roof? And I'm thinking, yeah, great. You know, we can spend all this time and effort and money trying to secure what we have. But the Word of God says, you know, unless God builds the house, unless he is in it, guarding it with centuries, you know, even guarding it with trained soldiers, even putting that security around it, you can do all you like, but if God's not in it, if it's not his will, if it's not what he's doing, it's a waste of time.
Yep, that's right.
And I thought to myself, well, yeah, we could put an electric fence up there, or we could do all that, or we could actually allow God to do something and do what he's wanting to do in this place, and then we're not going to need an electric fence. You know, as we declare that God is good and he will build his house, you know, what we do, and I think this is really important, and if there's something that I think together we can get hold of into this year, as we do that, why do we pray and declare? Because, you know, God already knows he is God. He already knows he is good. He already knows he's great. He doesn't need us to tell him that, does he? It's not like he's sitting back and thinking, oh, gee, I wish Grant Mullen would actually just call and give me some encouragement. Tell me I'm all right, you know. Has anybody been in that place? It'd be just nice if somebody touched base today and said they care and tell me I'm doing a good job. We don't talk about that, but we all feel like, you know. But God's not sitting back there and thinking, oh, gee, Yeah, I'm wondering when Alex is actually gonna really pray and start to sing and worship and tell me how great I am. He already knows. He's not insecure. He doesn't need that. But when we do that, we actually align ourselves. It's not so much about him. It's about us aligning ourselves with who he is and his goodness, so that he can work in us and through us. And I think this year, if we're going to be part of building something that will last and that nothing will overcome, well there are some things that we need to do. And I think, number one, we've actually got to align ourselves with God's plans and his purposes and his goodness. And as we do these things, we do it. Who's ever had a car with a really bad wheel alignment? I think older cars were worse. When I started driving, I had this 1979 XC Falcon, and it was an ex-taxi. It had done millions of miles or kilometres or whatever it was, and so it was pretty worn out everywhere, and it wasn't ready for what it was about to experience. Yeah, I know. No, the children are upstairs. And anyway, so you know, the first thing you do is you put bigger, wider tyres on it that put more strain on everything, and you start to do all these things. And I bought, you know, these expensive wheels and tyres for this car, and then started to drive it in a manner that the car wasn't accustomed to experiencing, and immediately the wheel alignment would go out, and these expensive tyres were going down the road, you know, and smoke's coming up. And I worked for my dad at the time, and I'd take it over to the servo over the road, because they had a wheel alignment machine, and they would align the tyres and do it up, and I'd go out in the car, and away we'd go, and the wheel alignment would just suddenly go out, just like that, and I'd take it back into them and say, well, this wheel alignment you did is no good. And after this had happened three or four times, they got incredibly frustrated and said, it's not our wheel alignment, it's the way it's being driven. Yeah. Sorry. But the issue was, it didn't matter what, you know, I could spend a whole lot of money on the best tyres and you know, that were able to go fast and do all the stuff. But if they weren't aligned, all they were going to do is tear themselves to pieces and not drive correctly. And I think sometimes in life and in ministry, and I see this in church life all the time, is that we've got, so often we can have great programs, we can have great buildings, we can have great ideas, we can have great vision, we can have all this going on, but somehow it doesn't seem to work because the alignment is actually not there and we're not flowing together in the way that God has called us. And I think when we put our complete trust in God, Proverbs 3, 5 and 6 says this. I got a Bible when I was a teenager, and my grandfather wrote this verse in the front of the Bible, and it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. You see, when we put our complete trust in God, when we connect our hearts and our goals to his purposes, our heart actually becomes aligned with his purpose. So I believe 2023 will be a year when we see and experience great things. Absolutely. I've only got to look around the world at the moment and see what's happening and understand that there is something going on. And you know, the church is not going to be able to be some sort of sleeping giant or some sort of disengaged sort of entity. See, God's going to do great things. But we've got to align with his will and his purpose if we're going to see that happen in our sphere. So in 2023, we can align ourselves with God's greatness. How do we do that? Well, number one, Not rocket science here, but number one is trust. Yep. Number one is trust in the Lord. And that word translated in Proverbs 3, verse 5, it actually means to be helpless and face down. Who enjoys being helpless and face down? None of us, do we? It's not natural to us. See, our first step is to trust Him, including those things that are precious, those things that are near and dear to us. It's sort of easy to trust Him with the things that are not that important. It's easy to trust Him. You know, you might be a person that, I hear people all the time, they tell me, oh yeah, God led me into this career and that and here and there. And you look around and they've had all these changes and actually they don't care that much. It's like, oh yeah, I'll do this for a while, I'll do that for a while. And oh yeah, I trust God in that area. Well, that's fairly easy because that's maybe not something that they're really invested into. But when you say, I have just spent the last 30 years of my life building a business, am I going to trust God with that? Or I have spent the last 40 years of my life sowing into a marriage or a relationship or whatever that is, am I going to trust God with that? Or God has just given me this beautiful child. And it's really easy to protect a child when they're little and they don't run around and they don't speak back to you and they don't go places. All that sort of thing. But am I going to trust God with that? Am I going to trust God in a world that's changing faster and more quickly than ever it has before? Am I going to trust Him with the things that are near and dear? You see, the principle perhaps of these verses, and it does describe this complete trust, but I don't think it's expecting that there's this objective, perfect trust in God, but it's talking about a heart and a life alignment with the will of God. Yeah. See, all of us are going to muck up. All of us are not going to trust Him with things at times. All of us are going to make mistakes, but I think the important thing is to get trust in Him, is to actually align our heart, is to actually get that alignment of heart with His will and purpose. Yeah. And then when you make a mistake or you think, oh yeah, I've stepped out of line there or I didn't trust in that area, it's not so hard for Him to bring us back on. Yes, trust Him with all your heart and allow Him to lead you into His greatness. Yeah. I reckon, who's ever felt disappointed with God? I didn't say like hands, but most of us have been there, haven't we? We thought, I was believing for this and that. You know, we were praying for so many years for this and that happened. Or I had great dreams and, gee, the church, people of God, they didn't get on board with it. Or they didn't understand me, or they were cruel to me, or they weren't understanding. All those things can be part of our experience, and we can feel disappointed in that. And we wonder why He doesn't lead us into greatness. But the point is, He actually is going to lead you into His greatness. Not your greatness, but His greatness. And often, you see, alignment, the more we're aligned with Him, the less we're disappointed. Because our disappointment comes from our expectations that so often aren't aligned with God's purpose. Yeah. So in 2023, how do we align ourselves with God's greatness? Well, number two, again, not rocket science, but it's in the verse there, is depend. Depend on God. Do not depend on your own understanding. Well, that's probably easier for some of us than others. Some of us think, well, I haven't got a great lot of understanding, so I've just got to depend on God. So. But it's not natural to be dependent, is it? Particularly in our society where we talk a lot about being independent. We look at people and we can look at, you know, perhaps the way somebody conducts their life or lives out relationships. And you can say, oh yeah, they're in a dependent relationship. Or they're in a codependent relationship. We see those things going on and we think, oh, and we can perhaps, we can feel a little bit perhaps critical of that, or we can have compassion for that, whatever we feel, but we think, oh, I don't want to be in a dependent relationship. Reality is most of us are in some level of dependent relationship. And you know, there's a whole raft of things I could talk about there, and obviously, you know, you don't want to be in a relationship where you're totally dependent on others, because people are not perfect. But I'm quite happy to be in a dependent relationship with God. You know, lean not on your own understanding, but depend on God. Are we dependent? I think in this society at the moment, I see us as people that want to be fiercely independent, becoming more dependent. You know, I won't go into things here. I could get political, but you know, basically, often our response, and I'm talking about the royal we. When we watched the floods, the devastating floods on the east coast of Australia over the year that's just gone, and one of the things that, you know, my heart and my compassion went for people that were in it. One of the things that I kept hearing that concerned me a little bit was this sense of the government weren't there quick enough with a helicopter. Or this didn't happen, or that didn't happen. And we know, we can zoom back on that, and I'm sure the government can learn from that, and we can do better, and there's a whole lot of things like that. But this sense of whenever I'm in need, suddenly a helicopter is going to zoom in so that I can be rescued. And somehow there's this dependent type feeling that's actually going on. See, are we dependent on government? Are we dependent on people? Or are we dependent on God? See, if we're dependent on God, you see, He meets us in a way that allows you to be actually independent.
Yeah, that's right.
He allows you. See, all these other dependents actually have a sense of needing to be dependent. Because, you know, you all know that when you look at a dependent type relationship, you know, and you can see it, and it's a self-perpetuating thing, isn't it? It just goes around and around in circles because you need, and that other person needs to be need, and it goes on and often into a destructive place. But you know, God's not like that because He doesn't need. His heart is to give. His heart is to meet you where you're at. His heart is for the absolute best for you, and He doesn't need anything from you. He just wants to meet you where you're at. You are dependent on Him so that you know who you are in Him so that you can actually live independent.
Yeah, that's great.
See, in 2023, how can we align ourselves with God's greatness? Well, number three, the word there is seek. Seek His will in all you do. Look for His will. Read the Bible. And that's very normal for preachers to say that. Oh, you've got to read the Bible. You've got to read the Bible. But how do we read the Bible? Why do we read the Bible? Well, do we read the Bible to be a better scholar? Do we read the Bible so that we can come along to our Connect group and everybody can go, wow, you have the most amazing Bible knowledge. Wow, where did you get all that? Woo! We just can't wait till Dale comes in and opens the Word and brings out these hidden gems. Let me make it real simple. We read the Bible to hear from God and do what He says. We read the Bible to hear from God and do what He says.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking forward to being in church together. But What are we hearing? Are we hearing the word of God, and are we ready to do what it says? In 2023, how do we align ourselves with God's greatness? Well, number four, I think we've got to be prepared to follow. And he will show you which path to take. People ask all the time. This was used to be a biggie. I remember in years gone by, and we'd often have these Sunday night services, and you know, you'd have 30 or 40 young people standing at the front of church, and as we're praying for them and ministering to them, here is the most common question that was always asked: is how do I know God's will? How do I know God's will? I want to hear from God. That was by and large the most common thing that young people were asking when they were standing, listening and wanting to hear from God. How can I hear God's will? People ask that all the time. Well, I think in these Proverbs, Prince Solomon unpacks the principle pretty easy. He says, number one, you've got to decide to put your trust in the Lord. See, it's all right to be standing at the front of the church, God, speak to me, God, speak to me, God, speak to me. But actually, if you want to hear, it is actually deciding to put your trust in him and allowing him to speak. Decide not to trust in your own understanding, but give attention and priority to God's revealed word. Okay, I want a word from God, but does it actually line up with the written word of God? And that's one of the dangers that we see all the time. People say, oh, yeah, I got this word from God, and this and this and this happened, but does it actually line up with the principles in the word of God?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Decide to acknowledge and honour God in all we do. I think, too, we need to... In following him, it's easier than you think. And I think we actually need to live much more with a green light mentality. You see, God is not the God of containment. God is not the God of stopping you. God is not the God of quashing your dreams. God is not the God of making your life boring. God is not the God of trying to pull you in. God is the God who says, I have got almost anything there for you that your heart would desire if it's aligned with me. And I want you to step into that, and I want you to go. I want you to get into the things that I've got for you. But sometimes as Christians, we're like, I don't know. It's because we're actually not necessarily trusting that God will be with us as we step out, or is as we walk. You know, if we assume the light's green, he's very good at actually showing us when it's red. Whereas sometimes we're waiting for the lightning bolt from heaven or the helicopter over our house or whatever it is to say, oh, God's in this. It's actually trust in the Lord, align your heart, your innermost being with his principles and see what he does. As I said, while we were on holidays, we were doing some mountain biking at Derby. And we rode this, Cody and I rode this track. We had Alex, what they call, shuttle us up the hill, which makes it especially easier with younger kids. Not getting them grizzling all the way up the hill, and then you can sort of get onto the fun downhill bits. And I remember a particular track last time we were there, and it was about 18 months ago. And I thought, oh yeah, this track will be good. And at that time, Cody was he was probably only 7 or something like that. And I thought, oh, this track's good. We'll go down there. And I had a look at it. And when we got there, it had a little bit more uphill than I thought, and some bits of it was a bit more difficult than I anticipated. And so we're going along, and I've got this meltdown from, you know, a 7-year-old. I want to go home. I don't want to be out here. Can we go back? And we've sort of gone, we're committed to the track, and I'm having to say to him, mate, the only way home is down that track. You can turn around and you can walk up there, but you won't get home. If we're going to get home, we're out here, we're amongst it now, and we've got to walk, or we've got to ride, or we've got to get down that track. Trust me, it won't take very long. We get over this bit, and you know, we're down here, we're on the donkey home, if we can just get through this little bit. And it was amazing to see the development. We rode that same track this year without a problem at all, and you know, lots and lots of fun. But you know, in that time where things were a little harder, and he's saying, I want to go back, and I'm saying to him, come on, if we're going to do it, we've got to commit to the track. We've got to follow the track. We've got to keep going. We've got to actually walk through that. And I want to encourage us. In 2023, I believe for all of you, I believe for us as a church together, you know, we've been through a lot over the last couple of years. Everybody's been through a lot over the last 3 years. And we've been through a lot and a huge change as a church. And the stuff that we've all been through, and a lot of you have joined us in that time, and you probably don't even relate to the change that others have felt as we've been through that. But I believe God has incredible greatness for us. Amen. And the question for all of us now together, if we're going to walk forward into 2023 and experience His will, are we prepared to stay on the track? Are we prepared to commit to what He's calling us to? Are we prepared to actually say, you know, at times, yeah, there'll be a hump, there'll be a twist, there'll be a turn. And that particular track, what made it hard for Cody when he was seven was it was a really wet day. And when we first started, I rode off this big rock at the start of the track and thinking that I'd just go down the other side and keep riding down the track. But there was a puddle. There was a puddle on the other side of the rock. And I didn't really know how deep that puddle was. And it was much deeper than I expected. So over the rock I go, front wheel goes in the puddle, and you know where I went. And so I'm on the ground sort of going, ooh, and getting myself back together, and I can see Cody's confidence is disappearing really quickly as we start this ride. And sometimes there will be times when we commit to the track when somebody you trust has a little stumble, or somebody that's important to you goes down in the puddle. And you know, and just, hey, together we just reach out and we pick them back up and we walk forward, because just because there's a puddle in front of you, our destination hasn't changed. Just because somebody takes a little unexpected dip or turn, the will of God hasn't changed. Just because, you know, things were difficult in a Connect group 1 week, the Holy Spirit hasn't left the building. Just because some teams change and things turn around, God's will hasn't changed. Just because, I could bring it up, just because something happened to you that wasn't fair, that shouldn't have happened, that was awful in your world, God's goodness and His love for you hasn't changed. You know, just because your marriage dissolved or a relationship failed, God's goodness and His purposes for you haven't changed. You know, more and more in those times, let's commit to the track. Let's commit to His will and His purposes. And let's decide that we are going to follow Him regardless of the season, regardless of the times, because I believe in 2023, God is calling you into greatness. He's calling you to be part of something significant. And just because sometimes things go on around the place, His will hasn't changed. His will and His plans and His purposes for you are good. Yep. Regardless of your circumstances, regardless of what's going on, He has got good things for you. Can we stand, please? The team, just join me now. Has anybody, I'm just going to do something a bit different here now. Does anybody have any oil, any anointing oil? Yes. gee, we're prepared here. I was going to go and get the dipstick out of the car. Who's ready to be anointed for 2023? Yes. Who wants to walk that journey where we walk the track? We follow him, where we say, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Yep. Align your heart with his purposes. Lean not on your own understanding. Because you know what? We're in a season where our understanding, as smart as you are, isn't going to cut it. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways, acknowledge him. If you're ready to be anointed, what I'm going to do... There was somebody else had a bottle of oil, didn't they? Can I have yours too, Nita? Thank you. Do something really simple here. And if you're not ready for this, that's okay. You can just say you're not. That's all good. No problem. I'm just gonna pray and anoint the people in the front row here. And they're just gonna hand the bottle on and they're gonna turn around and they're just gonna pray over the row behind. And they're just gonna ask that God's anointing and blessing would be upon whatever God has for those people in the year ahead. So hold on to that one, Lindsay. You can use that in a sec. Lord Jesus, we just pray right now for Gaynor. We anoint her in the name of Jesus. Fill her with your presence. Fill her with your spirit. We pray that she will just allow you to work in her. That she would choose to align her heart with you. And we pray that she would carry an anointing that flows to other people. Pray for Grant right now. Just fill him with your peace.